I can remember quite vividly the first time I went to Narnia. I was only a child, and precocious as some children are, I was always more in favour of Mum than Dad. Not exactly tied to the apron strings, but you know how some children are. Anyway, on this one particular occasion, I'm sat in the lounge with Dad. And he sat there, in his armchair, his favourite armchair. In fact, it was the only armchair. We just had that and the two-seater settee, of course. Anyway, Dad sat there in front of the fire with the dog, pipe clenched in teeth. Although why Dad let that dog smoke the pipe, I'll never know, because it played havoc with his chest. So there's me, and I'm playing with my fuzzy felt. Oh, nearly slipped up then. Nearly sounded vulgar, lucky. No, I was playing with fuzzy felt. Dad rather wished I'd play with Meccano, but never for me. I was never mechanically minded, you see. Anyhow, Dad says to me, he says, Alan, he said, that fire's about to go out, and to be honest with you, I'm not in the mood for giving it a poke. It's not really worth a shovel full of coal at this time. Why don't you go up to the wardrobe in the back bedroom for me and bring down that two-tone cardigan your Aunt Ida got me last Christmas? So, ever obliging, I decided to do so. Well, I'd have got a thick ear if I hadn't have done. Well, that's another matter. So upstairs I went, naturally knowing the way there. It was our house after all. And I went into the wardrobe and took a hold of the cardigan and said. The next thing I knew, I stumbled and fell forwards into the wardrobe. And the strange thing was, I felt my way to the back to try and get hold of the back of the wardrobe to help myself stand up. And there just didn't seem to be a back of it. And then it started getting colder and colder. And I kept walking and walking. At first I thought, it's my perspective, because perspective in those days wasn't what it is today. You know, this was before we had meters, so we couldn't measure distances properly. But I kept walking for a while, and it got colder and colder, so I put the cardigan on. And the next thing I know, the snow underfoot. I thought, that's funny, because Mum's usually a stickler for anything like that. You know, even surreptitiously, I've caught her with the U-bank out, or the Hoover at least. But no, this seemed to be an estate. I thought, it's nothing to do with Mum. Something strange is going on here. So I carried on walking. Next thing, I'm in a wooded glade. And there's a lamppost there, which struck me as unusual because the lamp was lit and it was broad daylight. I thought, well, that's something else the council will be charging us for. Even then, as a child, I realised the difficulty that one could get in with one's local council and the charges made, but I'll not go into that here. So the next thing I knew, this little fella comes running up, half man, half goat. Now, I know you've probably seen on the news more recently all the fiasco with the embryology and the genetic experimentation. Well, back then, we were no stranger to it. We all lived on things like pig's head, which was known as brawn, and various things, chitterlings, sweetbreads, so nothing surprised me. So anyhow, this little fella comes up and he sees me. I said, hello. He said, hello. He said, my name's Mr. Tumnus. Oh, I was just about to tell him my name when he said, are you a son of Adam? I said, son of Adam? No, he's got me wrong. I'm a son of George. He's a carpet fitter from Ilkley. No, he said, you don't get what I mean. He said, are you a man? And I thought, well, you know, people have often wondered that. And when I was in the pram, they often said to Mum, what a lovely little girl. But that's just because I got curly hair. I never really thought much of it. But anyhow, I said, well, while we're asking personal questions, can you tell me what you are? He said, oh, he said, have you never seen one like me before? I said, well, not that I recall. He said, well, I'm a fawn. Fawn, he said. Looked more beige to me, if anything. But I didn't say anything. Anyhow, he said to me, he said, you're in Narnia. I said, Narnia? I said, that's a funny thing to have at the back of our wardrobe. Because, of course, it backs onto the Smithsons next door. I thought maybe they'd knock through and were trying it on, but apparently not. This wood went on for quite a while, it seemed. Anyhow, the next thing you know, there's a sound of sleigh bells. And I thought, good grief, it's not that time already. The adverts for Argos will be on in a minute. I'm thinking of nowadays, of course. I'm sure they must have had adverts for Argos even back then, or the ubiquitous Christmas hamper, but let's not get into that. So yes, sound of sleigh bells, and all of a sudden Mr. Tumnus, the phone, he beggars off, just suddenly disappears in the undergrowth, leaving me stood there all on my lonesome. And the next thing you know, a rather gaudy and somewhat tacky large sleigh came along, horse-drawn, and on it there's this little chap. I don't know whether it's politically correct to say dwarf, but I would say that this fellow would look more at home sat on a toadstool with a fishing rod. He even had the gnomish hat and all the paraphernalia. And he said to me, oh, he said, a son of Adam. I said, oh, don't start that again. He said, no, he said, the White Witch will like to see you. I said, who? He said, the White Witch. I said, who do you mean? He said, the Queen. Well, I thought that's a little bit derogatory to say something like that about the Queen. I mean, it had just been the Silver Jubilee, and we did have a street party. And the Bolivants we had, they weren't very nice, but, you know, we can't blame Her Majesty for that. So, anyway, the next thing is, he says to me, he says, would you like some Turkish delight? Well, Mum's always had me down as a borderline diabetic, you see. I said, I'd not particularly. I said, I'd rather avoid, better to be on the safe side, because once my blood sugar start going all over the place, who knows what might happen. I get restless, you see. So I asked him, have you any arrowroot biscuits instead? Because I can manage those, you know, with my stomach. And I just up and drove away, so that was the end of it. So I thought, well, I might as well go back. All of a sudden, Tumnus comes out again, once the coast was clear. He said, where are you going? I said, well, you were no help there. He said, I was scared. I said, yes, I said, I can see by the marks in the snow that you were scared. But I said, I have to go back. I said, I'm sure Sail of the Century is coming on in a bit. And it's tea shortly. He said, well, no. I said, don't you want to stay and meet Aslan? I said, who's Aslan? He said, a lion. I said, why would I want to meet a lion? He said, he's a talking lion. He's not just any old lion. Any old lion? I thought, that's a song, isn't it? Any old lion. But I didn't say anything. I said, no, I said, not really. To be honest with you, I've seen Basil Brush on the telly, and although aimed at children, I always found him rather smutty, and some of his jokes were very near, I thought. So I said, no, if it's all the same to you, Mr. Tumnus, I'll go back. So off I went, straight back down. Dad said, oh, there you are, there's the cardigan, etc., etc. What are you wearing it for? I said, I was just warming it up for you. I said, top marks are, Alan. An extra pocket money for you for thinking. So I was quite happy with that, really. So that's my little tale. That was the first time I went to Narnia. I went back a few times, but they never really took to me. So there we are. Another one of my little stories for you. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, look after yourselves. Goodbye.